May it please God to bless us together this evening as we consider his word. Let's turn to the fourth chapter in the Gospel of John and read the 14th verse. The Gospel of John, chapter 4, and reading verse 14. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst, but the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. The Lord contrasts here to this woman of Samaria the difference between natural water and spiritual water. And the great difference is, as the Lord said, natural water, if we have that, if we're living on the earth, we shall thirst again. But if we possess and are given the water of life, it will be a well of water springing up into everlasting life. And surely we can appreciate, therefore, the vast difference. And we know, of course, that it's so necessary for us naturally to have water to live. We cannot live very long without drinking water. And in essence, of course, how true that is in our spiritual life. We need to be blessed with this spiritual water as we journey on through this life. Otherwise, we become very weak and very sickly, and how we need the Lord to come and to give us a supply of this heavenly water, this water of life, which the Lord does graciously and lovingly dispense to his church. And the great need for us is to know that you and I are possessors of this great blessing, that we have received this water of life from the Saviour himself. Because he says, whoso drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. It's given by God. It's not something we can just suddenly come across, as it were, a well and think, oh, that's good enough. It's that which the Lord gives specifically and individually. And we have, of course, this account, an amazing and lovely account of this individual, this woman of Samaria, singled out to receive this blessing. And it's good for us to read that the Lord, he says that he must needs go through Samaria. He had to go that way to meet this woman. If he'd not gone through Samaria, he would have not have met this woman. So he knew he had to go through this place to meet this woman. And how good it will be if we are blessed with that similar situation. The Lord comes to us and meets with us on our journey through life. Now, this woman was going about her daily duties. The Lord knew where she was. And the Lord meets with his people as they're sometimes going about their daily duties. It's right, of course, to come and worship together, because it is the ordained way of blessing. But nevertheless, the Lord does bless in the workplace, perhaps in schools or universities. The Lord's not confined to any place, and he knows where you and I are going to be. And it's wonderful, therefore, if he comes to that place where we are, and as it was waiting for us, and we come along to that place, the appointed place by Almighty God, and there he then speaks to us. He spoke to this woman. This woman had got up in the morning, no doubt, with no care really about her spiritual state. And there she was in an adulterous situation, and appeared to be content with it and didn't really want to declare it. But yet the Lord knew all about her. The Lord knows all about you, and he knows all about me. There's nothing that we can hide from him, because his all-seeing eye penetrates right into our heart and discovers every secret there. There's no secret in our hearts that the Lord does not know about. And therefore we might conclude that those secrets are known by two people, you and God. And yet, to realize that the Lord looks upon us. He looked upon this woman, and he came to this place of Sychar, sat on the well, and then spoke to this woman. And he said unto her, "Give me to drink." Now, we should realize that such a statement is important for us to consider. The Lord didn't let this woman pass by. We know, of course, that he was Almighty God, and we know it was the appointed time to call this woman. But nevertheless, we do have an example here of the Lord speaking. The woman didn't speak first. He spoke first to this woman. And he spoke in that way which was to produce the opportunity to speak to her about this water of life. And it would be good sometimes, I believe, if we are concerned to speak to those people that we come across and we meet. You know, there's many people you and I meet in a day, don't we? Jesus was sat here on the well. We might be sat somewhere, perhaps on a seat, perhaps on the train, perhaps in a bus, wherever it might be, perhaps in the office, perhaps at school, and someone comes along to us and we see this person. Well, it would be good if the Lord gives us right words to speak, and as we think of it, and we can see the course that it might follow if there is that answer. And this woman, therefore, responded to the Lord Jesus. She came and she said, "There cometh the city of Samaria, this woman, and now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied, sat on the well. And this woman came, and he said, 'Give me to drink.' Then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, 'How is it that thou, being a Jew, askest me, which am a woman of Samaria?'" So not only was she a woman that Jesus was speaking to, but she was also a woman of Samaria, and she was not a Jew. And as she said, the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. And yet the Lord ordained that this should be the way. So we should be encouraged by the account we have here, which gives us the evidence and the reasons why we should always be concerned to have an opportunity to speak to the people that we meet with. And we should not just pass them by or just forget about things, but we should be concerned and pray that there might be opportunities to speak. I always remember, I've said it before, I think, that the late John Broom told me when he was a school teacher, of course, and he said when he was a school teacher, and he used to pray, and when he prayed, sometimes the opportunity might be given to speak of the things of God to one or another, and he said that always came to pass. He was always given the opportunity to speak. Well, that's a good prayer, isn't it? You know, we live in a dark day, don't we? But the Word of God describes the Church of God as lights in that dark day. And we're also told that we are not to hide that light, but that light is to shine forth. And we see here in this account then the glory of that light shining forth. And of course we know the light was the Lord Jesus Christ. But again, looking at ourselves, as we know the Lord Jesus Christ, and bless God if we do, may that light shine through us, the light of the Saviour, not our light, but the light of the Lord within us, that it might shine forth and be evident that we are a true believer and a true follower of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. So this conversation developed. This woman was surprised, and Jesus answered her, and he didn't respond to the statement that she made. And it's good again for us to realize how the Lord operated and what he said. He wasn't sidetracked by the statement of the woman, and we can easily be sidetracked by the statement of the woman. He went on very kindly and he said to her, "If thou knewest the gift of God and who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him and he would have given thee living water." Well, that was a surprise to this woman. She couldn't understand it. And again, we should recognize that sometimes people may not understand the things that we say because they are spiritually discerned. And again, it's necessary that we have a right attitude in the things that we're in, the way we speak, not in a high and mighty way, but a very humble way. And so the Lord said, spoke to her, and she responded, "Sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou that living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well, and drank thereof, and his children, and his cattle?" And again, you see, the Lord doesn't answer that question either. He just moves on very positively, and says to her, "Whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life." Well, that was a glorious statement, wasn't it? A wonderful truth the Lord spoke to her. He'd commenced the conversation and he continued the conversation, and he came to this great and glorious word that he was able to speak to this woman. Now, this, you see, was attractive. The woman didn't really understand what Jesus was saying. And she just fancied this as some natural water. And therefore she responded, "Sir, give me this water that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw." And so then, the Lord then speaks to her and gives her to realize the great power and knowledge that he had. Now, of course, we won't be able to come into a situation like this, because this was the all-seeing eye of Almighty God, which he knew all about this woman. And he said to her, "Go, call thy husband." And she responded, "I have no husband." Jesus said unto her, "Thou hast well said, I have no husband, for thou hast had five husbands, and he whom thou now hast is not thy husband. In that saidst thou truly." The woman saith unto him, "Sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet." Now, we can perhaps leave the account as speaking to this woman and realize that here the Lord comes then and addresses us individually. And here he addressed this woman and penetrated into her heart so that she had the knowledge that this was not an ordinary person. This was a divine person. This was Almighty God. And it was the Almighty God, therefore, that has spoken to her these words: "Whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst, but the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life." And the Lord, you see, then, is directing her in this personal way to show her the real need that there was of the Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ. And Jesus spoke to her and he said, "Woman, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. Ye worship ye know not what." Well, how true that is today. In the day and age in which we live, how many people there are who worship they know not what. They're just following a mere tradition. And there are many people who profess to be Christians who are just following a mere tradition. They do not know the work of the Holy Spirit in their heart. They do not know the blessing of God's grace upon them. And they are just like this. They are not numbered amongst those who are the true worshippers, because the Lord goes on and says, "Ye worship, ye know not what." We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshippers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. This is a spiritual worship. It's not something which is tangible to our natural understanding. And people today, they like something which they can work out in a tangible sense, something they can grasp with their mental capacity. But here we see the necessity of living faith, which God gives, which believes the truth of God and believes that there is a God in heaven and they are a needy sinner and they do need to be given this water of life. The woman, you see, comes to this condition and says, "I know that Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. When he is come, he will tell us all things." Jesus saith unto her, "I that speak unto thee am he." Now that was an amazing revelation. And that was a wonderful statement. But it had an effect upon this woman. And this is the reality of true religion. It has an effect upon our hearts. And it produces a change within us. This woman was a changed character. And what did she do? She left her water pot. She forgot about it, what she was doing. And she went back into the city. And she went and said, "Come see a man that told me all that ever I did. Is not this the Christ?" She'd had a blessed movement of the Holy Spirit within her. Now how wonderful it would be for us if we can look back in our lives to that time when, as it were, we met the Lord Jesus Christ. This woman, we know, physically met the Lord Jesus Christ. But you see, the Church of God do meet the Lord Jesus Christ. There is the real evidence of that personal knowledge of the Saviour. It's not something which is just a head knowledge, because a head knowledge will never get us to heaven. It's the blessed work of the Spirit within our heart, which shows to us that we are a partaker of this wonderful blessing of drinking of the water, that water of life that the Lord Jesus Christ gives to all his people. There are no exceptions. Everyone is a partaker of this blessed water of life, this spiritual blessing, this grace of God, which is evidenced by the Spirit. And when the Spirit works in our hearts, it is not left. The Almighty God does not then leave us. You see, we've been quickened, we've been made alive, spiritually alive, and we are partaking of this water, this blessed spiritual water. And how important that we have in our lives the evidence that this has been so. Let us not just be satisfied, as it were, with a knowledge of spiritual things without knowing them in our hearts. We don't want to just have a knowledge which remains in our head. We want to have a knowledge that is in our heart, which is the gift of God. Because here we have this statement that he says that whosoever, and that is of course comprehensive, whosoever, doesn't matter how bad we are, perhaps how far off we are, how bad we've been, and how dull we seem, whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him. You see, it's that which God gives. Now I wonder if we're on the stretch after that, or have been on the stretch after it, that we pray unto God, we cry unto God, that we might receive this great and glorious gift of the water of life, because it's not something which then fades away. The Lord tells us here, if we receive that, we'll never thirst. But this water will spring up within. This is blessed grace of the Spirit of God springs up within us. It's like a well of water springing up into everlasting life. It's not something which fades away, which evaporates. It's something which continually springs up because it emanates from Almighty God. It's that which He gives. What a blessing it is then to realize that we have such a God, and how important it is that we are possessors of this grace, this blessing, this personal knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Isaiah, in his prophecy, in many places, refers to this water of life. We won't go through them all tonight, but just to bring one or two to your attention. In the 49th chapter, the Lord says this through his prophet Isaiah in 10th verse. They shall not hunger nor thirst, neither shall the heat nor sun smite them, for he that hath mercy on them shall lead them even by the springs of water, and he shall guide them. So the Lord shall bless them and shall lead them by springs of water. Those springs of water is his grace and his love and his mercy through his blessed Spirit. And he goes on, I will make all my mountains a way, and my highways shall be exalted. Behold, these shall come from far, and lo, these in the north and from the west, and these in the land of Sinim. And so he just moves on, sing, O heavens, and be joyful, O earth, and break forth into singing, O mountains, for the Lord hath comforted his people and will have mercy upon his afflicted. Well, it is a wonderful comfort. If you and I have been blessed with this spiritual thirst, and the Lord comes to us and gives us this water of life, gives us of his grace by his Spirit. It is, of course, the unmerited favour of God that he comes and leads us into all truth as it is in Jesus. And I believe this water of life must direct us to none less than the Saviour himself. And as we're directed to the Saviour himself, perhaps we understand again what the prophet said in the 55th of this same 50th chapter of this same prophecy. Ho, everyone that thirsteth, a gracious invitation, come ye to the waters. Now, it is only to those who are thirsty, not those who are satisfied with natural water, natural things, those who are thirsting after spiritual blessings, thirsting after the Lord Jesus Christ, that may come to that place, which is a good place, like this. Give me Christ or else I die, thirsting for the water of life. Well, what a blessing it is if you and I have come there. Well, we've prayed earnestly to the Lord, oh, give me Christ or else I die. Give me that personal evidence in my heart. The Lord Jesus Christ has died for me. He suffered upon that cross to atone for all my sins. He shed his most precious blood that I might be redeemed. This is the vital knowledge, isn't it? This is what will do our souls good. Anything less than this, my friends, is really peripheral. And you and I will need the blessing of this water of life. And so the prophet says, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters, and he that hath no money. Well, we haven't got any currency that would pay to atone for our sins. We haven't got any money. We haven't got any spiritual money, as it were. No, we can't come and say, well, I'll purchase my salvation. No way can we do that. We'd never be acceptable. We would never have enough money to bring. Come ye, buy and eat. Yea, come, wine and milk without money and without price. The prophet goes on, "Wherefore do you spend money for that which is not bread, and your labour for that which satisfieth not? Hearken diligently unto me, and eat that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. Incline your ear, and come unto me, hear, and your soul shall live. And I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David." It's a gracious invitation that Isaiah sets before us here in these verses. But remember, it is addressed to those who are thirsty and those who have no money. They have nothing in their hands they bring, nothing at all. Simply to the cross they cling. My friends, where's our hope tonight? Is it in a crucified Saviour? Is it in what the Lord Jesus Christ has done? Do we realise the need that we have of such a blessing in our souls? "But," says the Lord to this woman, "whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst." Never thirst. "But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life." You see, this water of life, really, we can think in terms of as the new birth. It's that which God gives to us, that which we cannot obtain ourselves. No, we cannot obtain ourselves. God graciously gives it. And therefore we are dependent upon his gift. And it is good that we are dependent upon his gift, because if we could produce the blessing ourselves, if we could give ourselves this water of life, what would it do? It would detract from the glory of God. And it would make us proud in that which we have done. But what it means is we come with nothing. This woman came, didn't she? What did she have? She was just there. She came to this well and with her water pot. It was empty. She had nothing there at all. And there she was, and the Lord came and addressed her. Now it's good if we come to the Lord with nothing. Empty, but thirsty. Thirsting after the things of God. Thirsting after the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thirsting to know that he died for me. Thirsting to know that our names were written on his heart. To know that our names were engraved on his hands. To know that we have a personal interest in the life and death of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is a personal thing, my friends. It's not something which is just a general case. This case we have here was direct to this woman. There were many people in Samaria. Many people. The Lord came and met with this one lady. We know, of course, that after that, some of the people came from Sychar and spoke and said, in reference to what the Lord had spoken, "Now we believe, not because of thy saying, for we have heard him ourselves, and know that this is indeed the Christ, the Saviour of the world." But nonetheless, the Lord Jesus has come and singled out this person. Well, I wonder if in our lives we can look into our hearts and see the time when God, as it were, singled us out. And it was as though we were before God, and God was speaking to us and encouraging us, and as it were, inviting us to come to him. We didn't go. This woman didn't go. The Lord came to her. And the Lord came to her. He was sat there. She came along and he spoke to her. And then entered into that conversation, which had this good end. Now you see, when the Lord begins to work, my friends, when the Lord speaks to our hearts, it's the beginning. And the work goes on. And the work brings us, I believe, to that assurance. This woman, you see, was blessed with that. She said, come see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? We see there, surely, she had that faith believing that this was the Christ. The words that the Lord has spoken to her, the conversation that he'd had now in our spiritual life, it may not, of course, be quite as direct as this. It may be perhaps over days, perhaps even over weeks or months or perhaps years. But nonetheless, as the Lord begins that work goes on. That work goes on. This woman, you see, she wasn't allowed walk away, to wander away. The Lord spoke to her and continued, as it were, this conversation. Sometimes in our hearts, we may perhaps, as it were, wander away in a physical way, but there in our mind, in our soul, there is still the resounding voice of the Lord addressing us, perhaps, and speaking to us of the need we have of the Saviour. And the Spirit of God then works to direct us more and more to show us that we do need the Saviour. We do need that personal evidence. We do need that personal knowledge that Lord Jesus Christ has come to give to us this water, this well of water springing up into everlasting life. Now, the blessing is that God never leaves his children. Sometimes we might feel to be far off. Sometimes we might fear to be very low. And sometimes we might even doubt the work of God in our hearts. But sometimes when we're perhaps in that position, to come aside and to be given that grace to examine ourselves and to go back and to realize the Lord it was who first spoke to us and caused us to seek unto him, caused us to ask him that we might receive this blessing of this water of life. This woman desired it. She desired this water of life. And it's good, my friends, if you and I desire the spiritual blessing, which means really to be led into the knowledge of Christ by the Spirit of God. We can learn it as schoolboys learn their tasks, but this is not the blessed work of the Spirit of God. The work of the Spirit of God moves our heart. It has an effect upon us. It produces a change in our lives. We are a different person because that Spirit has made us think differently. It's made us view ourselves differently. It's brought us down in our own estimation. And it's showed to us the necessity of being saved with an everlasting salvation, and that there's no help in ourselves. Our only hope is in what Christ has done. Now this is when we receive this blessed water of life, which comes into our hearts, and it's that beginning of that work of his grace within. And to think that these words are so true, that once it has been given to us, that we shall never truly thirst again. We are, of course, thirsty, and we do long, don't we, for greater blessings from the Saviour. But there will be that springing up, and that springing up really is God gives us that prayer to pray, and that blessed gift of prayer, and it emanates from God. It's because this well, this life within, is springing up within us. It may sometimes seem to be very feeble, but my friends, it will never disappear. The well of water will always be there. As the Lord says, I shall give him, shall never thirst, but the water that I shall give him shall be in him. It's the life of God in the soul, and it's in us, and it's springing up to everlasting life. And how important it is for us, isn't it, to have that which is that gift of God which gives us everlasting life. Not that natural water, like this woman thought, was what the Lord was alluding to, just natural water. But no, of course, the Lord was directing her to a far, far deeper position. And that was the need she had of life in her soul. So he uses this illustration to make this point to her and to direct her to himself. That's what happened, wasn't it? As the conversation continued personally to her, he showed her something of herself, something of her sins. There it was. The Lord pointed it out to her. Having told her of this water of life, he then directed her to her position. So she knew. She knew that it was God. She knew that it was, well, at any event, she knew that it was somebody who was very important. I perceive that thou art a prophet. A prophet. And of course, this prophet was none less than the Messiah who she spoke of. And then the Lord said, I that speak unto thee am he. The woman left her water pot and went her way into the city and saith, come see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? And the Lord reveals to us those things which we've done in our life. It brings back to our remembrance things perhaps which we thought had been forgotten and disappeared. The Lord sometimes brings these things back to our remembrance to make us cry unto him again and again, that we might receive this blessed gift of the water of life, that we may know that it is springing up within us. Yes, and although our sins deserving hell, yes, we'll not despair, for who can tell? Oh, there's that hope, God-given hope. What is it? It's a well of water welling up within. That good hope that doesn't fade away. Yes, we're sometimes tempted to despair because of the evil of our heart. What a blessing it is to know there's that springing up, that gift of God, which he has given us, which will never cease, and we shall never therefore thirst. We might feel thirsty, but in effect we shall never perish for a lack of this spiritual water, because God has given it and he's promised those who he gives it to will therefore never thirst, but it will spring up unto everlasting life. What a blessing that it is to think of this, to have this illustration before us here in this account, and direct us, as it did this woman, to none other than the Messiah, none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. The real reason for our times of worship is to direct us to the Lord Jesus Christ. It is so that we are partakers of this water of life. It's not so that we are left alone, left aside, but it's so that we might know and have the evidence that we are amongst those who are thirsting after this water of life, and who have received this great and glorious gift by the evidence that it's had within ourselves. What has it done? It's stirred up our spirit, our innermost feelings. That change has been produced within. And we know that the Lord has come, and the Lord has blessed us, and the Lord has given us. And we're able then to say, like this woman, yes, come, see a man which told me all things. This blessed Saviour, I now know this man. I've met with this man. I've met with the Lord Jesus Christ. And we do need, my friends, this personal evidence, this personal knowledge. Well, tonight, are we thirsting for this water of life? Are we thirsting? And do we long to hear such a word as this? That as the Lord spoke and said, and that I shall, whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst, never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. We must notice that this is the water that God gives. This is the spiritual life of his Spirit that he gives us within. It is his gift. It's not something that we have worked up ourselves. It's that which he's given. And that will be the evidence in our hearts that God has given to us that which we could not give ourselves, could not reach ourselves, but God gives it to us. What a favor it is to know that we are possessor of it by the life of God in our soul. So tonight it's good if you and I can look back in our lives to find a time, a period perhaps, when the Lord gave us this blessing of this water of life. And it's been springing up ever since, sometimes more powerfully than others. But nevertheless, it's always there. And it will never cease because it's everlasting. You see, whom once he loves, he always loves. My friends, we'll never be left out. We'll never be forgotten. And to think that he's loved us from eternity past. And he's loved us so much that he's come into this world to die in our place and to atone for our sins and to bless us with that personal knowledge that we are redeemed in the precious blood of Christ. Oh, may you and I be joyful in the wonder of these great and blessed truths, and thank God that we have a simple account like this, a very precious account that we can understand in a natural way and to apply that spiritual blessing and to have the evidence that as Christ spoke to this woman, so he's spoken to us with that great and blessed promise. He gives us this water that shall be in us and shall be a well of water springing up into everlasting life. Amen.